Good morning, my brethren. Take your Bibles once again and open to the hymn book of the early church, Jesus' favorite song book, the Psalms, Psalm 110. Let's review where we have been. We're looking at these three scenes of Jesus' total triumph, Christ our King, and then we'll see, we have still yet to see Christ our priest and Christ our warrior. We're still under this first and longest point, verses 1-3, Christ our King. And particularly looking under his kingship at his position and his power and his people. We saw his position there in verse 1, and we're wondering how long will he occupy this royal spot, this sovereign position, this place of highest honor at the Father's right hand. Verse 1 concludes, look there in your Bibles, until, underline that, this is huge. Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. In other words, until the job is done, until the battle is won, until the victory is complete, until every foe is vanquished, until Christ's dominion is absolute and global, from sea to shining sea, from sea, let's try this again, to shining sea. I'm sure I've realized by now you're getting some pretty unedited, unvarnished, real and raw. Video footage here, authentic. Until the job is done, it's an unrivaled and a universal kingship. Not a bad promise, hey? God says, son, the battle is ultimately mine. I will fight for you. I will win for you. I will bring every rebel in subjection to you. You see, until Christ returns to this earth where he was once rejected and defeated, until Christ comes back, no more as suffering servant, but as conquering king, what the whole book of Revelation is about, as we've learned on Sunday nights, and you can go download that series on our website, as Revelation 19 makes clear at his victorious second coming. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, also in the context of referring to Psalm 110, the Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians 15 sums this up well. Our glorious hope, Paul says, for Christ must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy is, do you remember? Death. Christ will abolish it at his return. When we are raised with new glorified bodies like his own, never to die again. I can't wait. How about you? If you are a king's enemy, the last place you want to be is at his feet with his boot on your neck. That will be your last breath before he crushes you. Notice Christ's position is secure. Jesus is not up for election. He's not watching the polls or campaigning for the next election or counting the votes. He's not wringing his hands or hoping enough people will make him Lord or really like him and he'll win the popularity contest. No, Christ is already seated at God's right hand. The first Christian sermon, Peter preaching at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, for his climax and conclusion, the punchline of his whole sermon, he turns to Psalm 110, verse 1. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. It was at this point that people were pierced to the heart, Luke tells us there in Acts 2. And they cried out for salvation, repented, were saved, and were baptized, and the church was born. Beloved, Jesus' lordship is not up for grabs. He's Lord already. You either fight his lordship or get broken by him and get broken by him, or you submit to his lordship and you get saved by him. Beloved, where do you stand with Christ, the sovereign Lord, today, now, at this very hour? And what does this mean for the believer, for the child of God? It means the world to us. It means everything. If Jesus is not exalted and seated at the Father's right hand, we're done. It's over, ruined. But if he is, we are at rest. All is well. It's going to be okay. If we serve an almighty Christ who's sovereign over all things, that changes our praying and our thinking and our living and our suffering. Let me take a minute to flesh out those applications. Think about our praying. It transformed how Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. Ephesians 1, Christ's exalted power is at work in us for our holiness and our unity and our love. Because God raised Jesus and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And God put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This hope transforms our praying. It transforms our thinking and our living. Colossians 3, verse 1, for example, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And lastly, it transforms our suffering, beloved. The certainty of Christ as Lord transforms our trials and the way we endure them and persevere under them. Hebrews 12, verse 2, we run the race with endurance. How? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't tell me doctrine isn't practical. Who says theology cannot be applied? Knowing the lordship of Christ, knowing these deep truths of Christology revolutionizes our praying and our thinking and our living and our suffering and our dying. Child of God, why then do you fear the future? If our Lord and head sits in quiet, majestic calm at the Father's right hand, then we also can be at peace, steadfast, and assured. As surely as God lives, Jesus must reign. Yes, even now he is reigning, though all his enemies are not yet subdued. But King Jesus is not worried. His kingdom is not in jeopardy. He is seated because all is safe. The outcome is certain. He is soon to return, and he will reign forever and ever. Discuss that today at your tables. How does the reign and the rule of King Jesus give us peace, affect our emotions and our trials, our praying and our thinking? I'll close with a portion from the Psalter that Spurgeon's church would sing from Psalm 110. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit joined the coming Son to ordain. By divine decree anointed, Jesus came on earth to reign. Our Creator, Prince, and Savior, born his people to regain. Thus he came, a priest forever, only name twixt God and man. By his death our bands to sever, bearing all our sin and pain. Our Redeemer, Lord, and Savior, died our pardon to obtain. Amen.